deals at Office Depot, Simon Mall, and through airline shopping portals. Plus, changes at Capital One, Bank of America, and Chase. All this and more on today's Milenomics Squared podcast.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sam Simon.
And I'm Robert Dwyer.
And this is the Milenomics Squared podcast, no annual fee edition.
If you're not subscribed to the full Milenomics Squared podcast, you're missing out on a deeper discussion into the following topics.
First topic is the Office Depot Office Max $10 off $300 in MasterCard gift card sale. And this sale runs through Saturday, so just a little bit of time left on it, but it's at both Office Depot and Office Max stores, and a little bit of healthy ribbing here. How are you doing on this, Robert?
Quit asking me. There's no Office Depots that are convenient near me.
Yeah, so it's all local. And this one, if it's local for you, it's fantastic. It's MasterCard gift cards. So if you still have any of those fee-free dollars left over from plastic, it's a great way to liquidate them. And $10 cuts most of the fee out. You can listen to our paid Patreon subscription if you want to hear about how to knock out even more of that fee or double dip with this.
All right. News item number two, Simon Mall, America's favorite purveyor of gift cards, is offering $1 off the activation fee on Visa gift cards through Christmas Eve, 12/24. And this knocks the fee down from $3.95 to $2.95 per 500. And they have very generous limits on what you can purchase there. We talked in the extended version of the podcast about whether we're taking advantage of this, how we're taking advantage of it. So check that out if you want to hear more about how to take advantage of this, if it's not obvious to you already.
Real quick, are they America's favorite provider of prepaid gift cards? Is that they won this award or something?
I refer to them
as that. Was this at the TPG Awards?
I refer to them as that because for some reason that seems to be the number one place that you would never think of to sell so many gift cards.
It's so true. It's so true. All right. What else do we have, Robert?
The airline holiday promo through United, American, Alaska, Southwest is back. We talked about this a few weeks ago when they were running a promo that was quite a bit more lucrative, but this is round two of the offer. It's a little limited at this point. It's 500 miles per $200 of transactions, and it runs for each of these airline portals that work with giftcards.com is why we're talking about it. We talk a lot more about how to maximize this in the extended version of the podcast, but it runs through 12/16. So time, again, limited on this one, but 500 miles for buying $200 worth of stuff through the airline portals.
And I'll just add that we had good luck with that earlier holiday promotion that actually did work. So it says gift cards are excluded, but giftcards.com apparently still working, right?
I think so.
In other news, Capital One has added Emirates and Singapore as transfer partners at a disappointing 2-to-1 transfer ratio. This is hot on the heels of their big announcement a few weeks ago of transferability of the venture and other Capital One points at a 2-to-1.5 ratio to other airlines. So now you've got this split system. You really need to, you should be a math professor to have this card. They really want you to have to work out the math. 2-to-1 and two more foreign carriers that really just seem kind of bizarre. They're not on most people's radar, I would say. Not that person who just uses a Capital One card for everything. I just don't see them using this, and I don't know when they'll learn from this mistake. Doesn't seem to make sense to me. But Capital One denying us credit cards since 2012, right?
way to go, Capital One.
All right, Robert, what else do we have?
Well, the next one is the next card is a little bit more straightforward. Bank of America has revamped its cash rewards card. Well, they're revamping it in early 2019, and they're letting us know about it now. Hat tip goes out to frequent miler on this one. The interesting thing about this card is that it earns 3% in a selection of categories that you get to make on a monthly basis. This is gas, online shopping, dining, travel, drugstores, home improvement, and furnishing stores. So the interesting thing about this one is that if you have $100,000 tied up with Merrill Edge in a brokerage account or an IRA, you get 1.75x increased earnings, which takes this to, industry-leading 5.25% back in these categories that you can select on a monthly basis. And Nick Reyes had a great post about this on Frequent Miler. some things and some ideas about how to maximize it. I think it makes for an interesting candidate for a product change from a tired Bank of America card that you're really not using anymore after you met the minimum spend requirement. So check it out, coming early 2019, a new way to earn 5.25 at some new interesting places.
And did you mention there's a cap of 2,500 per quarter?
Oh, that's a good point. Better than the 1,500 that we see across most 5X-ish cards, like the Freedom 5X card. But yes, very good point. 2,500 a quarter, 10,000 a year. Still, you know, not bad, I think.
To product change a card you're not using, yeah. So speaking of cards you're not using, some Chase cards are getting an additional 1 ultimate reward point for Apple and Google Pay transactions through the end of the year. And the list does not include that 5X Freedom that we just talked about. It includes the Sapphire Reserve, the Freedom Unlimited, Sapphire Preferred, the regular Sapphire, and then the 2 Amazon Prime and Rewards cards. So in most of these situations, you're getting an extra ultimate reward point. If you have a, let's say, a category bonus on the card, it would give you an extra ultimate reward point on top of that category bonus as well, and you have to use Apple and Google Pay. So Chase Pay, sorry. All right, so that rounds out the news. Let's go ahead and get into our topic of the week, which is actually, I think, detailed enough that it's going to make this a double episode, our first double episode ever of the Free No Annual Fee podcast.
Yeah, this is a really interesting one, and I wanted to pull it into the free version because I think it speaks to a demographic out there that is very much in, you know, transition between, you know, getting good value out of their credit card rewards and wanting to take their game to the next level. And it's a detailed anecdote I have here from a friend of mine who I challenged him to say, you know, you need to step up your credit card game. You have a healthy amount of spend. You could really be doing a lot better than you're currently doing. So I'll run through this. And Sam, you can interject as you see appropriate here. But I think it's a really good story about how hard it is to get in Chase's good graces. A lot of times we think of those of us who are over 524 having challenges getting under 524 and getting an arsenal of cards from them. It can be hard to get a good stable of Chase cards, even if you're starting from scratch. And so let's go through the timeline here. A friend of mine came to me back in around 2011, and he says, you know, I hear you're into credit cards. I would like some guidance on what you think is the best credit card. That's always a bit of a trap to answer, you know, what the best credit card is for somebody, right? Depends on what their needs are. But I recommended the Barclay Arrival Plus, and that recommendation has worked out very well for him. He says he owes a multi-thousand dollar debt of gratitude for this recommendation. A little bit later, I prompted him to sign up for, to up his game again. In 2016, he applied for a Chase Sapphire Preferred, which he got, and then he never really used again other than after meeting the minimum spend requirement. I think the reason he never used it is because, you know, even when you spend in a bonus category, you're only getting 2x ultimate rewards, and the delta on that versus what you were getting with the Barclay Arrival everywhere wasn't that significant, right? If you were at 2.2% back or 2.1% back, now that the rebate has been reduced a little bit on the Barclay Arrival, you weren't getting that much more value, right? So it was just easy to use the Barclay Arrival all the time. So more recently, in March of 2018, I said, you know, all you have is the Barclay Arrival and the Chase Sapphire Preferred. You really need to step it up. And so he says, all right, let's do it. What's the plan? What is the ideal position to be in? And I said, you got to buy in wholeheartedly to the Chase portfolio. And that means getting a Chase Sapphire Reserve for 1.5x uplift on the redemption side, and maybe also get a Freedom 5x card and a Freedom Unlimited card. So without getting any business cards, you'd have a great stable of cards from Chase. You get 1.5x everywhere with the Freedom Unlimited, and when you multiplied that by 1.5, that would take you to 2.25 when redeeming through the Chase portal with the Sapphire Reserved. And then if you took a little bit of advantage of the Freedom 5X card in those rotating categories, you'd be earning 5X, and which would become 7.5X when redeeming through the Sapphire Reserve. And so it says, this sounds great. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to, you know, adopt the Chase lifestyle. So he started bugging me for more information about this in September 2018. So we're getting into just a few months ago at this point, right? And so what he did was applied for and received a Chase Freedom 5X card. He got that from scratch for a, I think, 15,000 ultimate reward signup bonus. And then shortly after that, he downgraded his Sapphire Preferred to a Freedom Unlimited. The reason we wanted to do that, and we've had some blog posts about that, some discussion about that, is that you, at the time, couldn't get a Sapphire Reserve if you still had a Sapphire Preferred. So he downgraded his Sapphire Preferred to a Freedom Unlimited. All right, so now he's got a Freedom Unlimited, and a freedom. And so he's ready to go for the Sapphire Reserve to complete the collection of the Living the Chase lifestyle. But right around the time that he was getting to do this, if you recall, Chase changed the terms of when you could get a bonus on a Sapphire card. It went from being 24 months to 48 months. I said, oh man, you're in trouble now. You can't get this now. The rug's been pulled out from underneath you. But we found that there was some links floating around, some referral links that were emailed and were therefore hard-coded that said 24 months. I said, hey, I know a friend who has one of these. You can use his referral link and you should be able to get one. So that's what he did. He applied for the Sapphire Reserve for one of those with one of those 24-month referral languages. And they rejected him. And they said that the reason they were rejecting him is because you need to wait 48 months before getting the sign-up bonus for on a Sapphire card. And so he appealed, right? He says, look at the terms and conditions of the offer that I applied for. It says 24 months. It says it right here. And so at this point, he's pretty frustrated, but I said, hey, there's one of two ways to take this. You can get mad or you can get even. And the way to get even would be to apply for an Ink Preferred card for an 80,000 point sign-up bonus. And when he applied for that, they said, I'm sorry, you're being rejected because you applied for too many credit cards at this point. And at this point, he was really, truly disgusted, right? He's like, I've got this great bank in his mind, Barclays, that has served him well, gave him a good sign-up bonus. They reward him handsomely. It's straightforward. There's no shenanigans. You don't need to book through any portal. He's getting 2.1% back. And everything that he's done with Chase has been just like a source of aggravation and rug getting pulled out from underneath him and getting blocked. So he gets on the phone with Chase after after he got rejected for the Ink Preferred. And he says, you know, why should I try to do business with you? You're telling me I've applied for my too many credit cards. All I applied for was one and then one again a few months later. I don't think I've applied for too many credit cards. He says, I need you to give me a path to 2.1% earning or better. I'm sticking with Barclays.
Wow.
And he says, you know, my path to do that is to have uplift through the Chase Sapphire Reserve through the portal or the Ink at this point. Even 1.25% would help him out get there. He says, you know, if I can't get there, I'm sticking with Barclays. And so they transfer him over to retention specialist. And he says, you were rejected for the Sapphire Reserve because the terms and conditions say 48 months. And he says, no, actually, they say 24 months. You want me to share my screen? The rep says, it doesn't matter what the terms and conditions say that you're looking at. And he says, you need to cancel my cards right now if the terms and conditions aren't the terms and conditions. And that was the end of it. He put his cards in the shredder right there on the spot. Right there.
All
on the
of
spot.
Them right there.
And his relationship with Chase is done. He's done. So, long story, but I think very realistic in terms of somebody trying really earnestly and genuinely in terms of expanding their relationship with Chase, and he couldn't get there. Maybe he could have gotten there with like six more months of trying or something like that. But I don't blame him. I don't blame him. Like why should you bend your whole life around, you know, doing this in order just to get into Chase's program? I think they've changed and made things really hard for people. So taking all that, Sam, what's your hot take on this? Maybe we can go into a few different angles from this.
Sure. First thing, this is all part of why Chase Bank was one of my airing of grievances on the upcoming Saverosity Observation Deck Festivus episode. And they're just awful about it. They really are just pushing you into a corner. And then this poor guy, he wanted to go and they wouldn't even let him. You know, he wanted to go all in with Chase and they still kind of put him on the other side of the velvet rope and said, no, sorry, you're over there. So my initial reaction is that he closed some valuable cards, which is that's regrettable through this. I talk with people all the time and they'll say, you know, I've been a customer of this bank or that insurance company or this company for 22 years. How could they do this? They don't care. You're just a person. You're just one guy. So, you know, that silent protest of shredding the cards and canceling them, it got us to talk about it. But at the same time, there's not even a blip on Chase's radar over that. There's nobody at Chase going, ooh, shredded them, cut them up. We lost you. They're not shedding a tear over that at all. So I would have kept the cards personally. And then I would have got even a different way. You know, like you're saying, slow it down, go another 6 months, maybe. The other thing is that they don't want you to get greater than 2% back. They want you to get nothing back. They want breakage. We talk about breakage all the time on the blog, on the paid podcast, and a little bit here on the No Annual Fee podcast. But they really want those points to never get used, because then they get all of the money. So I think he was maybe a little too direct in his, you know, path towards what he wanted. I think that you need to really fly under the radar. That's kind of at least the way that I handle all of what I do, is to try to fly under the radar. Somebody tells me no, thank you, okay, I understand your position, and then regroup, try again later, or work with player two. I don't know if he has a player two situation, but that, you know, can really help if you do have that. How about you, Robert?
Yeah, you know, when he went so direct with the wanting to get over 2.1%, I thought that was actually a really effective point he was making. He's like, you're denying me for the Sapphire Reserve, you're denying me for the Ink card. And, you know, the terms and conditions, I feel like I'm inside of them. We're disagreeing on that. But I think it's a really good point he made. He's like, I'm getting more rewarded for my spend with Barclays than I am with Chase. Show me how to do that with your bank. And they're like, yeah, you can't. And so I guess one way I'd like to take this is, if I know there's another listener or 5 or 10 out there that are really like this, meaning they're new to the game and they want to get in Chase's good graces, what's the playbook that we would recommend to get them a good stable of cards? Is it just a matter of waiting more time between applications?
Well, I think that he could have foregone some of the sign-up bonuses and maybe put himself in a better situation, because had he upgraded from a preferred to a reserve and then applied, let's say, for a Freedom or a Freedom Unlimited, I think that might have been a better play. He left himself without a preferred or a reserve, probably because the allure of that bonus, right? I mean, we're all, we all like that big, shiny 50,000 or 60,000 points. But we've talked, you and I personally have talked about, like, what cards are worth getting with no bonus? And so, you know, in this situation, he could have, instead of closing all his cards, he could have gotten even in that way. He could have upgraded cards instead
that's
of
true.
Applying
I mean, that's,
for new cards.
I got my Sapphire Reserve just from upgrade without a sign-up bonus, but it was more of, you know, I was so far over 524 that I right. wouldn't have been back under in a long time. So that's why I'm surprised it was problematic in this case, that he was under 524 for all of these applications and still had issues, right? We think of 524 as being the end-all and be-all.
Gold
once you get into that, you can do whatever you want. And that's not true. You know, it wasn't true in the case of a person with a very established credit record. You know, longstanding history of making payments and just a model potential client for a bank, as opposed to somebody who's coming down off of 524 after many years of shenanigans. You think when you get under 524, things are going to be super easy for you with Chase. Might not always be the case.
That's a good point. The things that we read online make everything seem so easy, right? Like, oh, this card, I was approved for everything, right? We talked about that last week on the show. Like, you and I went over the cards that we were approved for and denied for, and you know, I think that we're pretty good at what we do, and we can't get approved for everything. And then you have a blogger out there saying, I was approved for everything. And it's like, it's amazing to me, because, yeah, these banks are, they're picky. So there's the reality, and then there's this kind of fantasy of everything you want, you can have if you're under 524. And so I think that's important to kind of walk away with from today's show is, it's not necessarily true. You really want to pick the one thing that's the most important. Maybe it would have been that Ink preferred 80,000 point bonus, and then work backwards off of that. Because if he's going to be stuck without a Sapphire Reserve or preferred, then maybe that Ink preferred would have been a great, if he's chasing the sign-up bonus, that would have been a great card to go with, and then play within that kind of sandbox while he waits out the 48-month clock. It is pretty disappointing that they are not agreeing that the terms and conditions that you are looking at are the terms and conditions. That's pretty shameful, actually.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it really, what he was trying to get to in this case, with my counseling, was I was looking to get him from being just an optimizing transactor on the Chase Barclays card to being a commingler, and not just an effective commingler, but somebody who's earning sign-up bonuses and commingling and doing categorical optimization. That's to me where he would be significantly moving the needle. So if he only got the Sapphire Reserve and maybe that Ink, you know, the Sapphire Reserve through a product change and the Ink, I don't know if that really would have significantly improved his situation, because he's given up a lot on sign-up bonuses. So maybe I would have just let more time pass. They said, okay, you've applied for too many cards. Say, okay, I'll wait 6 months or whatever.
Sure.
But I can totally understand, you know, he never said, I have the constitution for playing all these games. And he pushed himself harder than maybe, you know, a lot of people would. especially when he went for that ink after being denied for the 24 for the,
that's gutsy,
the Sapphire Reserve. Yeah, if he would have quit before then, I said, "Oh, you just stopped too soon." But he really gave it a try here. So
yeah,
I think that the upshot is I think maybe more time and patience could have yielded a better result. But I in no way blame him for getting frustrated and writing Chase off as being a bank that he wants to do business with. There actually are some very good banks out there that, all shenanigans aside, do what you want them to do. They reward you fairly for your spend. They don't play a lot of games. And I don't think for this guy, the Chase was the way to go. So I think an interesting story in terms of how people might play, because a lot of people who are new to this game want to get into that ideal position of having the ultimate portfolio of ultimate rewards earning cards. But it takes some time and definitely some effort to get there.
Well, and it also means that you have to forego a lot of other offers, because if you're going to put yourself on an embargo for 6 months of no credit cards, what happens if a 100,000 or 150,000 point offer comes in your mailbox? What happens if great offers from other banks start, you know, coming in and you start reading about them? You have to sit on your hands because you've got this, you went all in on Chase and you're waiting on that. So it's not just that you lose the signup bonus from Chase, you lose all those other signup bonuses as well.
It's a good point. It truly might not be worth it for a good segment of the population.
Yeah, but you're right, because we get this question from, especially from new readers or people who are new to this entire game. What's the way I should go? And we don't have that. We don't have enough visibility on the approval side to be able to answer that question with 100% certainty. And you and I and many other people just happily, I guess, fell into the Chase cards that we have at the right moment in time and held on for the ride.
Back when they had much laxer approval standards, absolutely.
Yeah, and so it's this generational, I hate to say it's a generational difference, but it is. It's that older guard and then the new guard. And, you know, we have an experience that's different than somebody that's joining the game today, because we already have these cards. We're way over 524. We'd never get them again, but they're not actively taking them away.
Not yet.
So all of that, yeah, it's a complex situation. And that's why I think that this is enough conversation that it is really two episodes here, because I think that the discussion is going to continue. I would love for listeners to find this post on milenomics.com and, you know, let's start a dialogue in the comments section. So far, we've seen very few comments on these no annual fee posts or on these no annual fee podcasts, because I think that we haven't had this level of discussion that we need to really get into. So if you're in this situation, if you've been in this situation, or if this is something that you have a question about, let's go ahead and start that discussion. And I'd love if you could leave a comment on the blog.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us this week. For a more in-depth talk about miles and points, please visit us at patreon.com/milenomics. There you'll get a special link to listen to additional content right in your mobile podcast app or on your computer, where we speak more about topics like we discussed today.
And as always, you can reach us on Twitter. I'm at Milenomics and Robert is at Robert Dwyer. And once again, we'd love to hear from you with some comments on this post. Until then, we'll see you on the site.